Right, R.E.D. Let's do it.
Alrighty, and for today's R.E.D., we are going to look into data protection. And this is an article by Natasha Mira. So, data protection, what is it? It is also known as data privacy or information privacy. It's a very, very interesting topic now amidst all this WhatsApp privacy policy issues that are trending across all media and social media platforms. And therefore, data protection is the process through which information about individuals is only allowed to be viewed by those who have been given permission to it. And it deals with protecting the integrity of the data. It involves protecting the data from being corrupted or having errors. Many countries have laws in place to actually enforce data protection. And if you can recall this, other countries that have very strict data protection laws include China, where they even ban some of the social media platforms because of their privacy, their information privacy or data privacy issues. And therefore, laws to ensure data is protected may include ensuring that consent to giving data can be removed at any point, that companies are subject to data protection audits to ensure their data is stored safely, and also making companies appoint data protection officers whose role is to ensure compliance with data protection laws. I know that majority of the times we go, particularly when we are online, we have to consent to some of the requirements to give data, or sometimes they're just requests to give data. One of the most important laws that ensure that our data is protected is would be to ensure that I can remove my consent to giving my data at any point in time. I wonder now if, given the WhatsApp privacy settings issue, people who have given consent, including myself, can actually take back that consent. But anyway, why do we need data protection laws?
Yeah.
Why do we actually need them? I think this is a very, very important example, Wena Toby, of why we need data protection laws. All right. One of the things that that people should be aware mm-hmm. of is the fact that you will not be on WhatsApp if you do not consent to the new data policy, to the new privacy policy of WhatsApp. All right. So every time we use a smartphone, the internet, GPS, we share personal data on the internet. We need data protection laws to make sure that our personal information on the internet is protected. And so individuals are able to control who has access to their information and why. And data protection laws are very important, not only to protect the data itself, but to protect the rights and freedom of the person whose data it is. So, just for an example, if you have ever entered your bank details online, it would be possible to take money from your bank account without data regulation laws. Your personal data being leaked may also damage a person's reputation. We have seen a lot of things that were supposed to remain personal going out across social media platforms, Toby. If you checked out things that trended in Lesotho this past summer, including the issue Gatsi Diso and all those things. And I do not think that Lesotho has enough data protection laws to have, you know, to have protected somebody from such reputation degrading use of somebody's personal data. Right. If you remember the video Yaka Tlehomabue.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I heard he is actually back with Expresso.
I do remember all.
Yeah, he's back with Expresso now. Generally, I feel like data protection laws are very, very important also as far as people's reputations are concerned. African countries have been increasing legislation on data protection in the last two decades. 25 out of 53 African countries have data protection laws in place. And also there has also been some regional cooperation. An example that you would remember is the 2014 African Union adoption of the Malabo Convention. This is a comprehensive document covering electronic transactions, privacy, and cybersecurity, and has been signed by 14 states. So why is regional cooperation beneficial as far as data protection is concerned? Making the legal framework for data protection consistent across the continent can be beneficial for development, not only while having a consistent framework for data protection across the continent be beneficial for individuals' privacy, it will also encourage data flows from outside of Africa into the continent. This is because multinational firms and governments will regard the African data service as safe. Therefore, these data services can include outsourced IT services where foreign companies pay African companies to manage their information and technology, data centers, the buildings that house many computers and data storage machines in one space, and including things like fintech services, that is the financial technology services. Therefore, encouraging data services in Africa will actually help improve the economy and provide jobs. And this can be achieved through the regional cooperation in enforcing data protection laws. And I feel like, when I told you, in a case of Lesotho, you remember last year, there was a trending topic around the regulation, the social media regulation by the Lesotho Communications Authority. All right. My argument across all that was that I don't know if you should just solely be focused on social media regulation rather than data protection. Do you understand what I mean? Privacy policies and all those. I feel like, I feel like they would address this issue more effectively and more efficiently than if we solely focused on regulating social media. Alrighty. And that is how we wrap up in today's. Go ahead, Toby.
I was about to say, I mean, with our country, we have a situation where, in as much as this should change, where pretty much we take whatever improvement we can get. So if they are starting off with social media, I, for one, I'm just like, okay, fine, let's do social media. And yes, let's expand quicker. But at least we're starting off somewhere. And I guess they started off with social media because it is another very influential platform, you know, platforms that affect what is happening in our societies today. And of course, you have a lot of people across all age groups, you know, just pretty much using Facebook to whatever discretion, because we are not even aware that there should be a data law, let alone the population is not even that verse with regards to there even being laws.
Sure.
You understand? So there's a lot of education that still needs to be done. I agree. And I'm so happy that you chose this article in our country. You know, I feel like this will go a long way in terms of also protecting us as users from ourselves and of course from other people who may be bullying us on social media.
Exactly. And what I would want to find out from the listener is whether their move, there's a frenzy of people moving away from WhatsApp over into other media like Signal and Telegram, and now SAP Africa. I've seen people now also advocating for SAP Africa. Now, is your move out of WhatsApp informed about the privacy policies of these other apps? Or is it just a frenzy of, if WhatsApp is saying this, we are leaving to wherever? Do you understand what I mean? How does the privacy policies of the other platforms compare to the one we have on WhatsApp already? And I am sure that this article will then spark...
One thing's for sure.
Yeah. Yes, Toby?
Yeah. One thing's for sure. WhatsApp is then now being... There's a word. The key word is exposure.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to be exposed saying terrible things, or rather, you know, character deframing things.
Mm.
So people, I mean, for instance, myself, you understand, I would personally move from WhatsApp, not necessarily move from WhatsApp, but rather omit certain conversations from WhatsApp and have them elsewhere.
Mm.
You understand? Mm. If I'm gonna be sharing, you know, some enticing pictures with my man, I'm not gonna share them on WhatsApp.
Because they could, what I mean? they could be anywhere any day.
Exactly. Mm. Well, at least that's the thought that we have right now. Because what does it mean by access to our content? Does it mean anybody can access them? Or does it mean Facebook administration has the power to use it at any point in time? Or what does it actually mean? I think for myself also, where I stand, I'm still yet to understand the whole, you know, privacy issue around WhatsApp further, you know. And who gets to access all of this, you understand?
Yeah.
Is it just anybody who has a Facebook account and your WhatsApp account could just, you know what I mean? Or anybody who has a particular interest and they can hack? Is it a hacking issue, or is it just, well, it's an open source type of thing?
Is it purely available
only for the administration?
I'm ready to share my understanding later on in the show on this issue. But for now, it's a wrap on this Right for Education slot here on the AM Plug with Josh and Toby. Let's do this. And...